Hey there, welcome to Embrace Your Strengths podcast. You're going to hear inspiring stories of men and women who are embracing their top five Clifton strengths in all kinds of ways. You'll be encouraged to understand more about what's so great about you, learn how knowing, developing, living more moments using your strengths can bring you joy and purpose in your life. I'm your host, Barbara Colo. Hi there. Welcome to Embrace Your Strengths. I am super excited for you to hear from my next guest today, Ophelia in Austin, Texas. Welcome, Ophelia.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Oh, I'm so excited. This is going to be fun to chat with you, Ophelia, and hear more about who you are and what your strengths look like. So I think about how we've known each other over the years for a long time, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but it's just such a delight to be more connected recently through church and the small group that we're both in. But I just see so much joy and encouragement and hope with you every time I'm with you. And so I'm excited for our listeners to hear about what your strengths are and what that's looked like and how you're just a bright light in the world. So I would love you to introduce yourself, who you are, where you live, and what you do.
Sure. Okay, my name is Ophelia. I live in Austin, Texas, and I am the minister to women and connections at Providence Church here in Austin. And yeah, I have been doing that since 2017, but before that I was a deacon of women's ministry, so I've been doing ministry for a long time. But before that, I had lots of other hats, like recruiter, and I was a stylist for a little bit. So, and then I stayed home with my boys when they were younger, full time. So, yeah.
That's great. Well, it's fun to be more connected recently. And I know when we first kind of had coffee in the fall, and I thought from that day, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to interview Ophelia for my podcast, because I think, like I've mentioned before, when I see anybody that's really just thriving or really in their element, it's just so delightful to see. And because of what I do and talking to people about their strengths, I am curious as what those strengths are in this little format of Clifton Strengths. So I would love you to tell what your top five strengths are and kind of what your journey's been about knowing what they are and kind of how you see those evident in your life.
Okay, gosh.
I can tell you what they are.
Empathy, yeah, you can tell me.
Empathy, okay. Communication, positivity, maximizer, and woo.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the reminder. Okay, this is actually funny. So I took this test, I think, in 2007 or 8. So it was a long time ago. And I was living in Moscow, Russia when I took it. And it was a hard and kind of challenging season in my life because it was the first time I was living overseas. It was a country that was really different from like the culture itself is like kind of like the opposite of what you would think of my personality. And I remember taking this test and being like, I don't think these are right. It just didn't resonate with me at all. I was like, I'm not empathetic. That doesn't sound like me at all. And it's just funny because when I went back and I looked at the test and looked at the characteristics again, I was like, oh, I guess that does make sense. And I just wonder now, like, even as you're saying that, like, because I probably, when I first took the test, I wasn't necessarily living out of my strengths very well. And so now that I have been back in the States and working in a job that I've loved for for a long time, I just think that it's become more clear. It's like, oh yeah, those things resonate now. And obviously, like, I haven't changed, or probably the season of life has changed. But I would say my top strength of empathy, I used to think that it meant that I was like super, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for, like was like willing to throw myself in and all things, or would get the shirt off my back. And I was like, I don't think that's me. But now, like, kind of even as you've like explained it, it's just like being able to like see where someone's coming from and being able to kind of feel what they're feeling, or like kind of spidey sense, like where how someone is reacting in the room. I have definitely seen that play out, not just in my professional life, but also my family life. And it's both a good strength of mine, but it's also something that I had to grow in as far as like figuring out like boundaries in that, you know what I mean? And so figuring out how my strengths can be, can be matured in a way that, so that it's like thriving in my relationships, because empathy is great, but if, you know, you have poor boundaries, it can get kind of messy sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. What about communication? What does that look like for you?
Communication is probably the one that I'm like, really? That's my number two? Just because I think, and this is kind of leading to kind of sort of this, the basis of your podcast, which is I think I always sort of envisioned what a women's minister was supposed to be like. And it was, in my mind, it was someone that was like super articulate and like could really good at teaching the Bible and was able to like formulate all these like deep theological things. And I was like, that's not me. But realizing that I do think I can communicate in a way that I think sometimes gets people hooked in, or especially when I tell stories, I realize that like, I don't try to tell stories, but when I tell a story, it usually ends up being a story, if that makes sense. So that's probably how I've seen that be helpful in my job. It's just even like communicating like one-on-one with somebody, just connecting with them and being able to convey a message. But in more and more like being, I think having just putting myself out there, because I think I sometimes feel a little bit insecure about that. Just putting myself out there and being willing to fail and in communicating to a larger group, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And then positivity. So let me back up a little bit. So if people have listened, like when we talk about these strengths, like with Core Clarity, they have these 34 strengths divided into four quadrants. And your first two that you already mentioned are in the connecting quadrant. So your communication and your empathy are ones that you connect with people and you develop and sustain relationships through your empathy and communication. And obviously all five of any of our strengths kind of work together and they enhance each other in different ways. And then your next three, positivity, maximizer, and woo, are all in what's called the mobilizing quadrant. So those are your strengths that mobilize other people to action. And they're all in the seemingly kind of more in the external world. So when you look at what your strengths are, you can see you're called an illuminario. You're someone that really magnifies people and you shine a light and bring joy and hope to the world. So anyway, so tell me more about your positivity.
I think for me, it's so interesting. I've been doing a book, a Bible study on Ecclesiastes with some women here at our church. And it's been actually one of my very favorite Bible studies because it just has been encouraging in a way that you wouldn't necessarily think Ecclesiastes would be, because Ecclesiastes is like a book about this guy, a teacher who is like, if you listen to him, like, I'm like, dude, you're really a Debbie Downer. You know what I mean? Or, you know, you just see the glass half full, I mean, half empty. And so, but realizing kind of like one nugget that I've taken away from the book of Ecclesiastes, like even seeing joy and being able to enjoy the gifts that God has given you, enjoy a beautiful day, enjoy like a delicious meal, like that's a gift from the Lord. And I think that I've realized that's actually not something that I struggle with. Like, I don't like necessarily try to put a positive spin on things, but usually I would say, when I encounter something, I like, I'm easily delighted. And maybe that's annoying to some people, but I'm easily delighted.
Yeah. Well, and you have just such a spirit of fun and joy just in your countenance. And so I could definitely see your positivity for sure. So what about maximizer? Maximizer is a strength that people have of wanting to go from like good to great or excellence. And it's one that I have also, but what does that look like for you in your life?
So for maximizer, I would say that comes out A, in my probably like cooking. So that's probably my biggest hobby outside of probably like working out is just like this intrinsic, like if I like just I love to tinker with something until it's perfect. And then also I can't remember if this is the right strength, but like the idea of like seeing something and like, and this is maybe like pulling in other people, but if I see something and then I see somebody that's good at like whatever a situation, or let's say we have like a program or we have like a gap in our ministry, and I'm talking to somebody and they talk about, this is like a gift of mine and this is something I have a passion. I automatically start like matchmaking in my mind, ways in which we can kind of use, not use, like that's like the wrong word, but like we can help leverage like one
Leverage,
person's passions and benefit the good of the whole church. And that's something I tell people all the time. I see my role as like a women's minister as like, is helping out basically matchmaking people's gifts and passions and talents for the good of the body and seeing that kind of flourish. And because it does, it's such a blessing to see people using their gifts and talents and not just for themselves, but how it has this ripple effect when you use it within the church. And so I don't know if that's the maximizer in me, but it's definitely something like that. Like I like to kind of like, ooh, you'd like to do that. You like to do that. Let's figure out how you can come together and do it. And so.
Well, I definitely see you in action doing that just with our women's small group and just how just gathering ideas and like putting them on the calendar and just leveraging whatever people want to bring to even just that venue of connection. But yeah, that's fun. Okay, what about woo? Winning others over. Yes,
That's
that's what you
funny.
do every day.
I don't know. It's again, this is one of those things where I think when I first took this test, I was like, I don't like that. I don't know. I felt, and this is also kind of connected to that, the whole like getting comfortable in your own skin, which I think I'm thankful as I've turned, like I'm in my mid-40s now. I'm like, I'm okay. I'm okay with who I am and God, who God's made me. But I think that part of me felt like that was like real salesy or something. Like I had this like connotation of, like a woo, like a used cars. Oh, that is something wrong with used cars. But that thing. And I was like, I don't want to be that. But realizing it's more just like an internal drive for me to be, try to get people to, if I, especially if it's something I'm passionate about, to be passionate about it with me or to come alongside with me in it.
Well, tell me more about what you love about your role. I know you kind of mentioned some things, but even it just seems like you're just in the most perfect fit for who you are. What have you loved about that?
Honestly, I think there's something from that core clarity night that you did with our GC that was so funny. That was like an aha moment where it said something about my personality type that is like the, maybe it's because I'm all external, or maybe it was something, it was like one line about how my whatever it's called,
Illuminario, the cordial
Illuminari
X, yeah.
is like, you like on a team, that's where either we thrive, or like something about the team aspect of it that is like a very like kind of central part of my personality. And it's true, I love my team. I feel so blessed to be able to work with people that I love, that we have fun together. Like I truly count them as my friends. And I know that sounds silly because it's like, well, you're the minister to women, but like I think my favorite part about my job, honestly, is getting to work and like dream and like pursue this kingdom-minded vision with some of my best friends. And so that's one thing I really love about my job. And then the other thing is kind of like what I said before, is like figuring out, because again, I don't necessarily like being on stage. In fact, I pretty much like differ every single time when I get asked to make an announcement from church or get in front of people. I think I feel a little bit more comfortable behind the scenes. But what I do love is I love being able to like give people like opportunities to, to push them forward so that the other people can get to know them. And again, like the gifts can be used for the good of the church. And yeah, so those are like my favorite things about my about my job, and I'm trying to think if there's anything else. And then I just love, honestly, I just love meeting new people. It's so fun for me to honestly just sit down in front of somebody I've never met before and hear all about their life. And you once said that like finding out people's strengths finders is like Christmas for you. I think you said something like that one
Yeah, like
time. You're
Christmas
like,
morning, like I
yeah,
just
you get
like
like, you get all
at
like,
it, yeah.
I like that resonates with me because I just love just hearing someone's story and hearing like their background and hearing what makes them tick. And I, yeah, just like a, I think I'm just naturally curious about people and their stories, which is my history major. Like that was one of my majors in college, was a history major, and I
Okay.
think that that was I wasn't like necessarily interested in like the historical facts, but I loved like dreaming about like what was it like? What are their stories like? And you know, in that time of in that time and place.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I, again, like I say, I notice every time I'm with you, but when I was leaving church yesterday, you were working at the little welcome table, and it's just a picture of you living in this exact spot that God wants you. I mean, you were just smiling from ear to ear. I don't even know who you were talking to, but it was so beautiful to see, Ophelia, because that's what you do. And people feel loved and seen and welcome. And I know even I love how each time when different gospel community groups are the greeters and just the vision that's cast about that people want to be seen and let who's new at this church today, let's talk to them. And I know that you really modeled that just so well. And I don't know, it was just so fun to see you just standing at that table and just with so much joy in your face. But anyway, well, one thing that we chatted a little bit about is I know as we talked even with the ladies in our group, and that just getting a tiny little glimpse of the strengths of what maybe 12 of the ladies that are in our group, 10 or 12, I don't know how many of us were there that night, but just that we're all different. I mean, was there any particular other observation you had as we kind of quickly went over like what people's strengths were? And I mean, you've known most of those ladies for a long time. I've known a lot of them for a while. Some of them are newer to me, but it's just so fascinating to me. So what do you observe?
I just I love how God has given all of us these gifts, and each of them bring such a unique aspect to the group that if they weren't there, our group would miss that. You know what I mean? And I think especially for those people that are in leadership, I think the greatest travesty is trying to do it all on your own. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody as a leader tries to do everything on their own, like it falls so flat because I only can be me. But like, it's just kind of the beauty of like the body of Christ, the body of, you know, the richness of community, like how God has used that not just in like church environments, but like work environments and friend environments and family environments, like all of those places. I think it's just, it was really fun to be able to kind of like celebrate each woman individually that night. And even I remember one of them was like, oh, I don't like these because I always feel deficient. And I was like, there's nothing deficient about you. It's like, God has made you so special and we need you. And so
Yeah.
it was neat to kind of even be able to say, to like highlight like the things that quote unquote feel deficient or like, you know, or gifts or, you know, and
Yeah.
just because it's, you don't, no one else has them, that actually all the more you're
We need
necessary,
it.
you
Yeah.
know?
Well, one thing I'd like to hear from you is we chatted a little bit too last week on the podcast. I interviewed Karen Yang, who's in our group, and I kind of forgot that how long y'all have known each other, but just, you know, her strengths are literally on the opposite sides of this little key, the enhanced core clarity key that shows where all these different strengths are, and y'all are opposite. So tell me a little bit about that journey and how you've God's used her in your life, and I'm sure vice versa too.
So Karen and I have known each other for a long time since we were both students at the University of Texas, and she was actually my discipler in college, even though she was only 10 months older than me. And at the time, like bratty little 19-year-old Ophelia was just like, oh, I can't even. But now I'm just so thankful. God was so good to give me someone who was so different from me. And you know how like people become like mellower, hopefully, like as we mature, like our strengths and our weaknesses, like they kind of get, you know, our strengths get stronger, but our like weaknesses kind of get a little bit softer, you know what I mean? Hopefully. So I would say Karen and I are super different now, but if you can even imagine what like 19-year-old Karen and Ophelia look like, it was,
yeah,
we were like so different. And I just remember meeting her being like, you are nothing like me. We have nothing in common. I was a very, very girly girl. And I just remember she always, you know, she was like an engineer and like very analytical and like always in a rush to go. And I was like, what's the big rush? And let's hang out. And she's like on the agenda. And I was like, let's party. And like, let's just, you know, play. And like, even like walking, I just remember she would be so, she would like, when we would walk together, I was like, what, why are you rushing? What in the world? Slow down, lady. And she's like, what is wrong with you? Why are you just like meandering around? Like literally like without a care in the world. It also could have been that she was an engineering major and I was a business major. So I really just, you know, I played a lot in college and she worked really hard. And so, but it's been really fun to see even like in our decades and decades long friendships to see how she's been so instrumental in my life. Like, I have a very like clear crystal vision of like her speaking some hard truth into my life when I was in college about a boy that I was dating and just being so like, oh, like so encouraged and like God using that to really deepen my faith. But also just even realizing that like that was kind of the beginning of like realizing it's like you can have hard conversation. And in fact, that's part of like being discipled is sitting under hard truth about yourself and not feeling like overwhelmed by shame because of it. But also on the flip side, being able to say those things out of love to the people that you do love, because we all have areas in which we have blind spots. And so, yeah, we both had like really fun and really hard conversations throughout our 20 plus year friendship. And it's also just fun because, you know, she's somebody who, yeah, that like just really is so different from me and really helps me see things from a different perspective and like has really enriched and helped give me greater empathy for people that I don't understand. Like, first and foremost is my husband, because I remember, like, for instance, the first time when Murat and I started dating and I was like, I do not get this guy. Like, he's, I don't know. I just thought he was like really like stoic and kind of like, you know, so blunt. And I was like, gosh, why does he have to talk like that? Why is this thing so like, you know, can't he soften his words, you know? And she was literally, we joke because she was like, she was like my Murat decoder, like while we were dating. She's like, well, yeah, when he means that, this is what he means. And she would like translate it so that
that's so funny.
Could understand it.
That's great. And how long have you y'all been married now?
21 years in April.
Oh, that's great. So you kind of, I'm sure you've come a long way that you maybe don't need her to decode all the time for you now.
No, but she, you know, she's great. She's wonderful because she actually, even though she doesn't help me decode my husband, like, but you know, like some of my children have characteristics where I'm like, I don't get what's going on. She's like, well, she's like, I do. I have empathy for, you know, that person in your family because I'm wired that way. And it's really helpful.
That's so great. I love that. Well, on the different side of that, even just how you were wired so wonderfully, I think of just what a gift it was that you were asked to be chaperone on the one of the field trips recently, right?
Uh-huh.
I didn't really hear how that went, but they asked you because you were so fun, right? Because of your positivity, your woo, your all the above.
I don't know, but, or maybe they were just desperate for a warm body. Oh, I don't know. No, but
son wouldn't ask you to do that if he didn't want you to be there.
No, it's true. No, it was actually great. I do think it's been fun to figure out how to be like a supportive parent during these teen years, just because I think there's just so much going on right now in their lives as far as like they're trying to like forge their own identity. Like, that's the big thing in these teen years, is like figuring out who you are and kind of being like individuation. That's like the word, and just figuring out who I am, like, what do I believe? But being able to support my kids in that has been really fun. And it's been challenging at times because I, by nature, have like a very strong nurturing mom streak. And so I have to, like, it's been a good like area of growth for me to actually be able to come alongside my kids and be able to support, but also give them freedom to kind of make their own mistakes and make their own choices and figure out who they are and what they like. And so it's been really fun.
That's great. Well, this is kind of a different kind of question, but I think about, even as believers, you know, there's things about, I know when we hear what our strengths are, I'm sure there's different people or passages that really come to your mind that you're like, of course I have this strength. Or, I mean, I think of like Harmony as mine. I think of, you know, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I mean, there's certain things that probably we want to pound the table about because of who we are and what our strengths are. But is there anything that comes to your mind? Because sometimes we think, why doesn't everybody do it this way? Or why do I care so much about this? And I'm sure who you are is embedded in a lot of your convictions that you've known as you've walked with God for so long. But does anything come to your mind? I know that's kind of a curveball question.
I love it. I think the ones that come, like the first thing that came to me was just like how God has called it. I don't even know how this fits, but just like even like what it would look like to be like a holy priesthood, kind of like our role in God's kingdom as ambassadors, as the hands and feet of Christ, as a people set apart for his own purposes, and how I think that resonates with me probably because I'm a Chinese American, and, you know, growing up in the 80s in Texas, I was like, I definitely felt that resonates to be an alien in a foreign land. Uh-huh. It resonates with me to want to like, to feel like a little bit set apart maybe. And so I think that's probably like an underlying like conviction of like, I want for like God's expansive love for like all people and all nations. Yeah. To be like, I think that's like it's like a knee jerk for me because I'm like, of course, yes. He loves that. And he loves the diversity of people. He loves the diversity of cultures and the diversity of personalities and the diversity of, like, you know, experiences, because all those things are, I think, embody a different characteristic of God. So I don't know if that answers your question or not. But yeah. That's kind of like the first thing that I thought of.
I know. It's like, it is, like I said, kind of a different kind of question, but I think there's things that we just have as kind of guardrails that, of how we live because of who we are and our bent, our personality, our strengths. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think we don't even stop to think about that mm-hmm. because we're busy people these days.
Yeah. We're just operating out of like our core, like this is something that I value. And but yeah, it's really good to think about, why do I value that? And it's because there's something in that value that reflects the Lord, or something that the Lord cares about. So,
yeah. Well, one or two last things. I think about too, just a sweet memory I think that we had as we both kind of came alongside our dear friend, Jenny, who lost her husband a few years ago during COVID. And it was such just a gift that she was staying at our house for a little bit a few months after he'd passed away, and you were coming to get her and take her to be together. And again, just your presence, Ophelia, is just so joyful. But can you tell about the little crazy story we had?
Oh my goodness. Okay, first of all, I'm pretty sure I gave her the shirt off my back that day. we went shopping because, like I said, I was a personal shopper, stylist years ago. And so, you know, I was like, let's go shopping. I know it doesn't
yes
a lot of things, but it's something fun that we can go do together as girlfriends. And And I think it was either on our way there or we're back.
I think it was when you first got there. My daughter's, we're dog sitting my daughter's dog that wasn't super well trained. And Emma got out of the house and was running around the neighborhood.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And so we were just, Jenny and I were like cracking up laughing because we're like literally like trying to pin this like dog and we couldn't stop laughing. And it was such a light, like, but at the same time, we're like, oh my goodness,
This dog better
let's
not
not.
die on my watch. I
Yeah,
mean, he
I
was
know.
like
And she,
down the street.
yes. Oh my goodness. She was like flying down like the street and I almost got run over and like this is not going to end well, but I do remember thinking that that was so funny. And I think we got into the car, we just started cracking up afterwards because, there's like these, like, again, even in the midst of like hard things and hard seasons, like laughter and belly laughing with a friend is such a salve to my, it's such a balm to my soul.
Well, and I think, just like obviously your empathy and love for our friend and just showing up and just taking her shopping and just being together was such a gift. But then just your positivity, your woo, I mean, just all of the above. It, I don't know, that was just a sweet, fun moment, I think, for all of us that could have really turned really bad. But it was just a fun little memory we made together.
Well, I don't think I told you this, but like speaking of dogs, your Dusty, I mean,
Oh,
sweet
yeah.
Dusty Mae West. I mean, he was our favorite dog. Like Marat and I still talk about how,
Oh.
we got a lab-ish dog. She's nothing like Dusty. But I really think in the back of my mind, I was like, maybe Chloe will
Maybe.
be like Dusty. She's nothing like Dusty. But I remember we used to dog sit for Dusty when you guys would go out of town when we first got married.
I kind
And
of
I
forgot
remember,
that.
okay, and then one of my funniest memories is you had a cat that would that black cat. Yes.
Darla,
And she was not as nice. However, we would take Dusty on a walk, and it was like she was like not wanting to let her us know that she wanted to be part of our like little friend pack, but she wanted to be a part of our friend pack, so she could follow us. She would follow us on our walks with Dusty, and we're like, Darla, you can come be a part of our friend group, but she did not want to. She wanted to like lurk on the outside.
Yeah,
Anyways, I
that's how
just.
cats are. That's so funny. Well, we gave Dusty a little cupcake for his birthday the night before it was his last day. And it was just a sweet little birthday party we had. But it was so tragic because, yes, he was the most perfect dog that ever
Most
was
perfect
made.
dog ever was made.
So, well, that's a funny story you have about
He's the
Darla.
epitome of all dogs, like that we all would like.
Yeah, and you're not the only one that said that too. So we miss Dusty a lot. So, well, Ophelia, this has been so fun just to get a little peek into you and your strengths and so many ways that they are showing up in your life, but also blessing everyone that you know, and me especially. So I appreciate it. But I have one last question. What has brought you joy lately or put a smile on your face?
I mean, there's so many things, but I would say, okay, I love to cook and I love to eat and I love to go out to eat. And so the one thing that's brought me joy is number one, I made a really fun chocolate chip cookie recipe with like miso in it the other day, and it made me It just was like making me laugh because I was like making everyone try my cookies and be like, guess what the secret ingredient is? Guess, guess. And it was, everyone thought I was a
Anyone
little
guess
ridiculous.
it?
Alex, actually, the college minister, he got real close. He's like, I kind of gave him a little hint. And I was like, fermented something. And he's like, and so, anyways, it was really funny. But that brought me a lot of joy. And just in general, I love my kick for the year. Is I'm trying to make a dessert for everyone on my staff team for their birthday. So I ask them that beforehand, like, what would you like? And then I start going down my rabbit trail of finding the perfect recipe for so and so's birthday.
That's so
That's
great.
bringing me joy. And it's probably bringing joy to other people too.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Well, thank you so much, Ophelia. I appreciate you making time, and it's been a delight to have this conversation with you. Thanks.
Thank you, friend.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope this time has given you hope and encouragement about how amazing you are, or helped you understand someone you know or work with or love. If you're curious about your top five strengths, you can take the assessment at cliftonstrengths.com. If this episode's been helpful to you, please leave a review, share the podcast with a friend, or subscribe to Embrace Your Strengths podcast. You can find more information at Barbara Colwell, CULWELL.com. I sure look forward to our next time together. Take care.